The Tarlehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody, Wimp here. Just a very quick introduction to this episode, which is a direct audio rip from our Facebook Live post-game show that we did about an hour or so after full time at Loftus Road on Saturday. You'll hear myself and we'll give our initial opinions and views on it, but it's important to stress that it is just a direct audio rip. So we'll be referring to things that are on the screen that you won't obviously be able to see, being that this is just a mere podcast. However, if you want the full experience, I very much encourage you to head over to youtube.com/thetarlehurstend. That's youtube.com/thetarlehurstend, or head over to facebook.com/thetarlehurstend as well to go and check that out. So we spent about 25 minutes giving our initial thoughts on the game before seeing any extensive highlights and things like that. So it's very much a raw initial view. We will be back with the main Tarlehurstend podcast with myself and Mark and hopefully one other person. That will be on Wednesday after the Gillingham game in the Carabao Cup. So as always, get your thoughts in for the mailbag for that one. thetarlehurstend@gmail.com, the best place for you to send those into, or on Twitter to @thetarlehurstend. If you use that hashtag TTE podcast, very much help us sort through all the feedback and get your thoughts on the show. So, as mentioned, this is from the Facebook Live we did after the QPR game. Stay tuned on Wednesday for the main show. In the meantime, hope you enjoy.
Tarlehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlehurstend.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tarlehurst End's post-game show from a day when, unfortunately, we have been beaten. We hadn't had enough misery at the end of last season. They thought, let's get us started with a good old-fashioned beating to the fake hoops. My name is Dan Wimbush. I am joined for today's show by the man floating in that box up there, Will Jones. Will, you were there at Loftus Road. Was it as bad as it sounded?
Yes. I was lucky that I missed quite a few of... Well, I missed all the big thrashings last season. And I can fully see how, you know, those games came about last... It was as bad as I've seen us play for a long, long time. The only reason why I won't go over the top is that the game effectively stopped after an hour and it wasn't end though 2-0, but a better team would have won 4 or 5-0 today. QPR missed some absolute sitters.
And it sounded bad.
It was bad. It was quite worrying how the team crumbled after the first goal. And there were some very bad individual performances.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the match stats floating up in the corner on the sidebar as well. And it just tells a story. I mean, Reading 4 shots in the game, 2 on target. And yeah, you can go and say, well, we were down to 10 men from, 55 odd minutes. But it's just not good enough.
The game finished then.
Yeah. It was, and we weren't massively in it. We had a little spell just after sort of 15 minutes where we started knocking it around. But, I mean, the initial reaction when I was listening to the phone in on BBC Radio Berkshire after the game and looking through social media has been, there's a little bit of panic about, I think. Is this something that you're worried about based on what you've seen today? Or do you put this down to hangovers, injuries, not enough signings, whatnot? Is it the time to actually start thinking?
No, because we saw these displays last season. So if you're worried, it's because it's a continuation of what we saw last year rather than something new. If you had to offer me QPR's squad or our squad, I'd still take our squad. I do think that we'll finish above QPR, but it was just a continuation of last season. I think the problem was is the injuries. And I know you can say injuries are bad luck, but when there's as many as there are, then for me that's not bad luck. That's bad planning. You should be hitting peak, you know, or you know, getting towards it when you're coming up to the first game of the season. To have so many players out means they've done something wrong in pre-season, and that instantly puts you at a disadvantage. And then even when you have, you know, got players out missing, you have to work with what you've got. And Stam got his tactics wrong today. I mean, when I looked at the team, I was expecting 4-3-3.
Yeah.
And you started, and I thought, well, where are the front three playing? And the Swift seems a bit all over the place. And then about halfway through the game, I realised they're actually playing three at the back. But Blackett's too deep for a wing back. It's too far forward. And Gunter's too far, you know, almost playing right back.
Yeah, I just apologise.
So they really were all over this.
Yeah, I just apologise to people watching this. My my Skype window is displaying this lovely little message on the bottom of your mouth that's saying internet connection problem. So, I mean, you're still with us, so people can still see you, but, you know, just if you're wondering why there's this random... Oh, there you go, I've made you huge now. If you're just wondering why there is this little annoying bubble popping up over... Well, I'm trying to get rid of it. No, I can't do it. Oh, well, it's fine. That's what that says, if you can't make out. Anyway, yeah, the lineup. I mean, you look at it, you look at the squad. I mean, you can see the lineup again on the screen to right side. That's pretty much the strongest we can put out at the moment, because the injury list, well, it's horrible. I mean, well, I'll bring it up now. Looking at that, I mean, how many key players there? That's pretty much almost a full strength side right there in the physio room.
Yeah. And but the defence in itself was reasonably strong. You know, Gunter's first choice right back, first choice goalkeeper. Moore and Ilori are on their day to borderline Premier League players, and Blackett is, you know, should be aiming for that level as well. So for the defence to be so bad was worrying. I mean, how many of those players would have started today? Kermigan, yes. McCleary, yes. McShane, if they're playing a three at the back and you think a beater, but, you know, they should have been better today. And to say the way they crumbled wasn't good enough. You need players to stand up and say, OK, we need to stop this, get a foot in the game, stop QPR creating chances. But they didn't. The midfield was outbossed and the defence was all over the place. I mean, Ilori in particular was shocking. I struggle to think of a performance, individual performance, that was as bad as that. Probably, I think it was Alex Pearce a few years ago at Cardiff, where he scored an own goal.
Got sent off.
And then got sent off, yeah. All inside. Yeah. The strange thing was, in the first 15 minutes or so, I looked at Lauren and thought, this lad is class on the ball. He is so good. And then he just lost it.
Yeah.
He didn't look like the physical battle. He looked like the last thing he wanted to do was defend. And then, to, you know, top it all off, he got sent off and that was it. The game was over.
Yeah, we've got a few comments from people.
But the midfield, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Will. We've got a few comments in the Facebook thread. Andy Redding says, rubbish, there was no passion. Jack Simpson asks, what did you think of the referee?
I think he at times struggled to control the game. There were, the first yellow card was Bodvarsson, and I was sat in the home end, and the agreement was the reason he got a yellow card was almost he was trying to get control. It was like, okay, there's been 5-6 fouls, the next one's going to get a yellow card, regardless of what type of foul it was. How Jamie Mackie didn't get a yellow card in the first half was a mystery, and he needed to give Mackie a yellow card in the first half to calm him down, but allowed it to carry on. But, I mean, I don't think the referee was a particular, you know, it didn't make a difference on the game. Yeah, could have maybe controlled it better at times, but yeah. This was down to Reading, not the referee.
Yeah, and Alex Everson says, boo, Stam out. Sorry, just getting out of the way early for you. Seriously, though, I mean, you wouldn't have heard it because you're at the game. There was someone on Radio Berkshire at halftime actually saying it's time for Stam to go. I just... mind blown.
Yeah.
But, you know, in saying that, you made the point at the top of the show. We saw this last season. Stam, particularly away from home, gets it wrong more than he gets it right. Was this a case of everyone just having bad days and the quality not being there, or was this just another example of the system for you and Stam not quite figuring out how to get the best away from home in the Championship?
I mean, he did got the system wrong. If you're playing three at back, is a difficult system to play, and if you're going to do that, you need good wing backs, and Popper and Blackett are not wing backs. So that immediately makes the whole system difficult. Add in the fact that you've got Evans and Kelly, who are both a bit lightweight in midfield, and that's quite a big job to look after a two-man, you know, against what QPR had three in there. So you've just got the system. You've got to play with this. The team should have been set up in a 4-3-3, and that would have worked better. Him and the team have got to learn that when things aren't going well, sometimes you just need to get men behind the ball, do the dirty work, and maybe you don't flash it around. Maybe you just say, right, we'll put it down the channels, we'll try and take the game out of our half and put it in the opposition's half. Just be ugly for a bit. And it's admirable, the philosophy, but you've got to, there's a time and a place for it. And too many players went missing today. In terms of the quality, I think there are a couple of players, thinking Popper and Clements, Popper tries, but I've not seen anything since he joined. There isn't anything particular that stands out for him other than his work efforts. Clements was just anomalous, and again, there wasn't anything you could say, yeah, he's going to be a player, this one to watch out for. There was nothing from him. Bodvarsson was the big plus to come out of it.
He's injured.
He was a real handful. Worked hard and showed some real quality at times. Yeah, so he was the standout player by a long way, which is not great praise, but that's something to take out of the game.
Yeah, he looks like, out of the summer signings so far, he's looking like the one that actually is possibly going to make that impact and be a good signing for the squad. But, you know, I'll bring up that injury list again, because this is what makes it difficult for Yapstam. He said in his post-match comments, you know, they're looking at bringing players in. But it's really difficult to add too many to the squad, because obviously you've got these players and they're coming back. I mean, very few of them are, at least that we know, long-term injuries. I mean, Stephen Quinn is apparently close. Same with Joey, Paul McShane as well. Tanai Watson's always been a fringe player anyway. Jordan Abita was close as well. It's only really Jan Kermigan that's got that long-term knock. And Gareth McCleary is, we've not had too much info on that. But you do feel a little bit sorry for Stam, and I suppose for, to a lesser extent, the Chinese owners, because you can understand why they're reluctant to go and sanction a whole new raft of signings.
I don't think that they should do that anyway. If you look, that's what, 8 players out there. There were 13 first team players today, with the youngsters making up the bench. So what that makes a squad of 21. You don't need to be getting players in for making up the numbers. That's what these young lads are supposed to be doing. They are the 22nd, 23rd best players in the squad. And that's their role, is to be on the bench in an injury crisis. First of all, you've got to manage the squad and training so you don't get these injury crises. You can't overwork them or overtrain them, because then they will pick up injuries. And then in terms of squad building, I think we need to be bringing in players who are better than what we've got, not just making up the numbers. I mean, what could bring in another centre back, say, but when McShane's back and then Van den Berg, say, available, they're just going to be sat on the bench. So who's going to join us? Who's going to be decent?
Absolutely.
Knowing that they're back up, we need to be bringing in better players than we've got.
What about a quick word on the opposition as well? I was just going to say, what did you think of QPR? Because it's all well and good us saying Reading weren't at the races today, but was this, I mean, what did you think of them? Do you think they're a better side than they were last season? I mean, they've been tipped for a lot of people to be in a relegation battle. Is that the type of side you can see being down there? Or do you think that actually, you know, we did actually come up against a good side today?
I think they're a mid-table side. They worked really hard and had a good attitude. The same thing they did when they played the Medeiskis. They played high up the pitch, really pushed us hard. They're not going to be troubled by relegation, but they're not going to trouble the playoffs. If they had better strikers, and that, you know, given Washington did score twice, better strikers, they would have won 4 or 5-0. What they do have is one of the division's best goalkeepers,
Smithies,
and in Luongo, a player who's starting to realise his potential. And he bossed that game. He was all over the pitch, muscling players off of it, driving the game forward, and that's what Reading missed. You know, that's what Danny Williams did for Reading last season. Luongo was doing that for QPR, and if those are two players, you would immediately say, yeah, would quite fancy them in Reading's squad. The other players that QPR had a good Freeman, well, you know, Swift type player, and they weren't great in defence. Reading had quite a few half decent chances that could have been better. And in fact, just before the penalty, if Bodvarsson had played a better pass to Barrow, and even then we still managed to get 2 shots, we should have equalised.
Yeah.
So yeah, QPR deserve the win, and I think they can be pleased with themselves. But let's not pretend that we played a top opposition.
Well, and it's the thing as well. I mean, you know, Ian Holloway has got track record. You know, people, you know, take the mick out of him a little bit because he's a bit OTT sometimes. He's a bit of a figure of fun, but don't knock his managerial record. You know, this is a man that got Crystal Palace out of this division, that got Blackpool out of this division, and then Blackpool to another playoff final. So he knows how to get the most and build good squads and get the job done at this level. And QPR are a bogey team for us anyway. I don't know. What was it? 1 win in 10 we'd had against them going into today's game. So, I mean, I'm just trying to search for some positives. I mean, it sounded like Manone did okay. Made a couple of saves. A particularly good one when I think the offside flag had gone up, but he didn't know about it. A couple of question marks, though, for his positioning for the cross, for the first goal. Looked like he might have been a little bit out of position.
Well, I need to see that again. I thought he was decent. He punches the ball. I can tell everyone now that when the crosses come over, he won't catch it. He will punch it. Even when he's under pressure, he will punch it. But they're decent punches.
Yeah.
There were a few times when his kicking wasn't great. But overall, you know, probably after Bodvarts and after the players who started can leave with his head held high. The rest of them who started, are looking at... my player ratings are looking at fives.
I was going to say, head over to thetylersen.com a little bit later today or tomorrow because we'll be doing a full report and ratings on that, so you can go and check those out. But it's difficult. It's tough to know what to say after today because part of me is just thinking, let's just sweep this one and move on. I wrote on thetylersen.com a little early this week. I was expecting this. I expected this hangover to happen because we've had less preparation time. The signings haven't quite materialised. We've got that injury list. It's so hard to just carry on where you left off and build that momentum forward. But it's one game out of 46. One game. And by the end of August, I mean, you look back to the 2011-12 season, miserable. I think we were 23rd after, five or six games? And I remember watching us at home to Watford just after we'd signed Lafondre and Gorks, just thinking, this side is awful. This side's not going to go anywhere. And slowly but surely, they picked up momentum. So, the bad side, Will, is that it's not going to get any easier anytime soon because if we thought QPR were an all right, decent championship side, you've got Fulham coming to town next Saturday. Are you braced for the worst here or do you think we'll see a nice little bounce?
Well, I've got the League Cup game on Tuesday to get things around.
The mighty Gillingham.
They proved last season that at home they are a solid outfit, which is bizarre given how feeble they often are away from home. I wouldn't expect to be near the playoffs by August, and if we're in the top 10, that's a bonus.
Agreed.
But the thing that we need to see sooner than later is a backbone in these difficult games and difficult moments is the team to show some, you know, the strength that they often show bouncing back from these games. They need to do it within games. They can't crumble. Because if you do, you will find yourself two or three out of sight, and then that's just a game lost. Sometimes do the dirty work, stay in it, just about do it, keep it into it, and then they've got the quality to grab that goal. I mean, even at the end, they had a couple of, got around in the box. We've QPR took their foot off the gas, but I said at half time that if I was a QPR fan, this game had won all over, and if Laurie, the second goal. If we'd remained at 11 men, I don't think it would have been over, despite how bad we are, because we have got that quality.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to start seeing is some of the team learning. They need to start learning lessons.
What do you think?
They didn't do it last season, and we've seen the Evans.
Just very quickly, going back to the individual performances, and again, not trying to spoil your player rating too much, but what about John Swift? Because he was the one at the end of last season that really sort of faded, and I was hoping he'd come back refreshed, but you obviously had that long summer as well with England under-21s. What did you make of him? Did you see any noticeable changes from those playoff games, or was it more of the same?
He showed a few nice touches without ever really having an end product. He did go a bit missing, but so did Kelly and Evans, so yeah. I don't think he's, you could criticise him more than others, though. Like those two mid guys, he's now had a full season of the team. He is a key player. He's got that new contract. So, maybe actually we need them to start standing up. they're not young prospects anymore. They're entering, whether they like it or not, they're starting to get to that stage where we expect them to put in decent performances. It's not promise. So, you know, him, the rest of the midfield and the team, this game will be quickly forgotten if they start putting in some performances, you know, get some half decent results coming up. But if we see similar performances a few months down the line, then, yeah, the questions will need to be asked.
Yeah, it's and look, the bottom line is, as we touched on earlier, it's game number one of 46. You've just got to pick up momentum as the season goes on. 2005-06, lost at home to Plymouth. That went fine. And again, 2011-12, we scraped a home draw with Millwall thanks to Matthew Monse's one and only... Actually, no, I said he had two good contributions. He had a good game at Cardiff as well once. But it's a memorable goal from the Beast. So, yeah, I mean, look, even... I could very much see a scenario where we're sitting here after four or five games and Reading haven't won yet. But even to that point, I won't be. I mean, even last season, really, I mean, we did win against Preston on the opening day, but after that, we had those demoralising defeats against Wolves and Newcastle. So it took a while, even for last year, for it to pick up. And obviously, we finished with a points total that a lot of seasons would have seen us inside the top two. So lots to look forward to. There is work to be done. Fingers crossed the physios can work some magic, because we really need some of those bodies back. Stan was asked, you know, are you going to make loads of changes for Tuesday night? And I think he was kind of like, I don't really have anyone to change. But I mean, what would you do? Yeah. What do you do on Tuesday, Will? Do you make loads of change? Do you put a complete young team out to protect what you have got left? Or do you send out most of those players that played today?
I think it ultimately depends on the physical state of the players. If someone's, you know, I think the term is the red zone. If someone's in a red zone, then put a youngster in.
Yeah.
But I think he did it last season in the League Cup, where actually he only made two or three changes, and I would do the same again. You know, if as long as a player isn't say at a risk of injury, let's get some momentum, because a win is a win.
Yeah.
And if we were to play a weakened team and were to lose, then we'd go into the Fulham game on a real downer. But if we win on Tuesday, it doesn't even need to be particularly pretty, then, yeah, effectively, we've already forgot. You know, we moved on from starting to move on from today.
Yeah, absolutely. Get some sort of positive momentum, even then, if that goes wrong against Fulham, we've got that to hold on to. So, you look, bad day at the office. As I said, on the website, we will have a full match report and ratings from that man, Will, over the rest of the weekend. Just before I let you go, though, Will, have you had a chance to see the results elsewhere in the Championship today?
Yes. I don't think anything particularly stood out. I mean, Middlesbrough lost to Wolves, didn't they? Which is...
Yeah, great start for Gary Monk. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I see he was sort of talking them up. Cardiff beat Burton, and I saw Zahora scored, and Cardiff fans have been really talking him up, so that's one to keep an eye out. I'm sort of bringing them up there below. And Oliveira, I saw he score a goal, and he celebrated by running to the bench, taking his shirt off, and pointing to his name and the number 9 at the manager. So, you know, read into what that... Maybe that's... Is that something to watch out for?
Oh, absolutely.
Because... I think we'd be happily have him at Reading.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want to be at North.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's opening day. You know, Sheffield Wednesday getting beat at Preston, you know, not doing Carlos Carvajal that many favours after a couple of seasons of disappointment. You know, nice to see Sheffield United win on their return. Brentford are my sleeper team for this season, so they'll be a bit disappointed to start off on losing foot. And, you know, as much as, you know, we make fun of Gary Monk and Middlesbrough for losing, don't forget how much money Wolves have spent this summer. You know, they under their Chinese ownership, they are pushing that boat out as well. So they should be there or thereabouts. They're up there with the bookies as well. So long old way to go in this Championship. Lots to be done. We've still got, 4 weeks left of the transfer window as well. So keep calm. Probably don't watch the highlight show tonight. It's probably not going to do you much favours. But look, I said, go read Will's match report and ratings. Head over to tarlhurstend.com for that. We'll be back with a podcast with more thoughts on this game and the Gillingham game on Wednesday. So get your thoughts in for the mailbag. You see the contact details on the bottom right-hand side of your screen at the Tarlhurst End on Twitter, facebook.com/thetarlhurstend, where hopefully you're watching this. And you can email us at thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. Also head over to the YouTube channel as well. A full replay of this show will be up on there as well. And lots of other goodies and great stuff. And finally, patreon.com/thetarlhurstend. It's our electronic tip jar. It's paid for the lovely new webcam that I'm recording on right now. So there is your kind, generously donated money at work. If you like what we do, you know, a couple of quid makes a massive difference. I've said it before. It's, you know, you pay £2 for an expensive cup of tea at the train station. Don't do that. Give us that £2 instead and make one at home before you leave. Or take one of those little flasks in and save the planet. So patreon.com/thetarlhurstend for that. patreon.com/thetarlhurstend. Will, thanks so much for joining me. I'm sorry we haven't had a win to talk about, but fingers crossed the next time we come on the show, we've got happier things to discuss.
I'm confident we'll have plenty of wins to talk about.
Absolutely. Right. In the meantime, hope everyone else out there is enjoying their weekend. Thanks to those of you who joined us live and for those of you watching later. In the meantime, we'll sign off and we'll speak to you soon.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.